Blog Talk Radio.
Slash the War Room.
Welcome to the War Room. We got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
Of October, and it's about that time. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me at the round table are my trusty partners, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, Akil Bayon, and Paul Johnson. Got a great show for you tonight. We'll put a cap on the stories from Week 6 in the NFL as we move on to Week 7 later on this evening. In about 45 minutes, we'll be talking to MMA fighter Kyle Sefcik about his upcoming Rumble this Saturday in Baltimore. Please join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room right now at blogtalkradio.com/The War Room or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. We want to hear from you. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline about 30 minutes from now at 323-410-0012. Before we get started, it's time to shout out some of the best in the biz. Make sure you check out Roy and Chris of the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Also, check out Brandon, Chris, and Daniel, Sports Trap Radio, every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ueradiolive.com. If you can't catch them live, you can hear all of these great shows as well as all of our other partners at warroomsports.blogspot.com. Don't forget that. Big shout out to the whole War Room Sports team of contributors and writers, and we'd like to welcome Brandon Campbell, the Philly sports muse, to the team. She's been all over that Eagle situation in Philly for us this week, so make sure you catch her and all of our other bloggers on the blog tab at warroomsports.com. Finally, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays on newvibradio.com. That's N-U-V-I-B-E radio.com. And we're on at 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. But enough of that. Let's see who's celebrating a birthday this week.
It's my birthday. Yay!
War Room Generals. Y'all ready to do this?
What
today?
Up?
Yes, sir.
Yo,
what's up?
I'm a legend, even if it's only in my own mind.
No doubt. The birthdays, as usual, are brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including that one and only NFL Sunday ticket, go to our website at warroomsports.com, click on that DirecTV logo, make sure you order a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. Because I'm of the opinion that the Red Zone channel is overrated garbage. But that's just me. Fellas, first birthday tonight is one Mr. Robert Lectris Whitfield, a.k.a. Bob Whitfield. He turns 41
today. Yay!
Jimmy, what do you think of when you think of Bob Whitfield?
I actually remember Bob Whitfield when he played for the Falcons, offensive lineman. He was okay. He's not one of the greatest of all time or anything of that nature, but he definitely was a good offensive lineman, I would call him.
Yo,
he played tackle.
I think of Bob Whitfield.
I know he played for a couple of teams, but I definitely remember him from the Falcons.
Yeah, I think he played for Detroit for a little while. But when I think of Bob Whitfield, I think of the Real Housewives of Atlanta because
yeah.
His ex-wife is on there. What's the one that looked like kind of like a pterodactyl?
Sheree.
Yeah, Sheree. She definitely she's on there playing him out, you know, a lot, making him look like a deadbeat dad. He's behind on his child support payments and whatnot. So, Bob, step it up because they're making you look bad on the lady show.
In terms of the music business down there, he had a lot to do with it because he was the founder of that job. I think it's called Patchwork Studios.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, that's like big time. Everybody like, you know, T.I., Nelly, and Snoop. A lot of people record there.
He probably getting money, and she's just trying to play him out because she's not getting much of it.
Plus, you know, you can live in Atlanta for like $8,000 a year.
That's true. Be awesome. What do you think of? You think of Bob Whitfield?
Pretty much his Housewives of Atlanta chick, Sheree, whatever the heck her name is. I didn't know the boy went to Stanford, though, either. He don't seem bright enough to be at Stanford.
Why he can't be bright? Because he got cross-eyed? Because he kind of cock-eyed? Like.
Because he can see in two different directions from the opposite side?
what about him makes you think that he couldn't go to Stanford, though? I don't get that one. Like,
yo, talk to Andrew Luck and then come holler at
him. I'm just saying,
damn.
Like...
Doc Bay, what do you think of when you think of Bob Whitfield?
To be honest, I haven't heard of him until today. And I know he played in the NFL. He's in the music business. And that's it.
Hey, honesty is the best policy.
Pro bowler, man.
All right, well, we'll move on to the next birthday. I'm pretty sure you know this guy, one Mr. Michael Keller Ditka Jr., a.k.a. Mike Ditka, turned 73.
My birthday, yay!
Back to Doc Bayon. What do you think of when you think of Coach Ditka?
He is of Ukrainian descent and grew up near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. His last name used to be spelled D-Y-C-D-K-O, but the family changed it since it was too hard to pronounce. He was a great player as a tight end while playing for the Bears, Eagles, and Cowboys. A great coach who coached one of the greatest teams of all time, the 1985 Chicago Bears. Good NFL broadcaster, Hall of Famer. And while head coach of the New Orleans Saints, in the 99 draft, he traded the 1st, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and the following year, 1st and 3rd round draft picks for the right to draft Ricky Williams in the 1st round with Washington Redskins' 5th pick.
They
and Washington.
The team.
They traded the team. And Washington received Pro Bowlers Champ Bailey, LeVar Arrington, and John Jansen through those picks.
My question is, how do you go from not knowing anything about Bob Whitfield
to knowing
everything about this dude.
Yo,
you know
the only thing I got to say about Mike Ditka, you know what I'm saying, on the Countdown show, that segment he does, stop it. Mike Ditka, stop it. Yo, that's
yeah,
calling,
Mike,
guys, for real.
Yeah, I
got
to admit that. Real quick, it's funny because he won a championship, I believe, as a player as well as a coach. And he actually, you know, even though that segment is horrible, he had a long career, like, you know, in the booth or behind a desk, so to speak. My question is, Kill, maybe you can answer this. Did he go into the Hall of Fame as a player, a coach, or both?
That's a good question. I don't know. I know he went in 88, but I don't know if it was as a player or a coach.
And my next question
is... he went in as a player. He was the first tight end ever selected.
Okay, now my next question is this, just something I was thinking about. Is it possible to go in a Hall of Fame multiple times? Let's just say you have a Hall of Fame playing career, you go into the Hall of Fame, and then you get into coaching, you have a Hall of Fame coaching career. Is it possible to go twice?
I don't know.
That's
good question.
Freak. Yo.
Anyway,
I don't want to slander.
What's your opinion?
I don't want to slander my man because, like, if you grew up in the 80s, you can't not like Mike Ditka. Because he's Mike Ditka. As I've educated myself through the years on football, like, his contribution in terms of commentary, like, the things he says, like, they're not really that bright. They'll ask him a question, and he'll be like, listen, you either got to play hard or don't play at all. I mean, that's what it really boils down to. And what I told my guys is, play hard. What? you're an NFL, possibly Hall of Fame coach, and that's what you had to say. Listen, a guy's got to be a leader, or really he shouldn't be playing a game.
Yeah, I mean,
come on, Mike.
To me, he's synonymous with the Chicago Bears, which is funny because, like he said, he played for other teams. But anyway, let's move on from him. Dev, unless you got something you want to say about Ditka?
No. We can go ahead and move on. I'll move us on to the next one.
You got it.
The next birthday today is one Mr. John Loy Rocker, a.k.a. John Rocker, who turns 38.
It's my birthday! Yay!
Jimmy, what do you remember about John Rocker?
Yo, I think of the movie Major League when I hear the name John Rocker, because he was definitely like wild thing. Paul said, please. But when he was on, he was like, you know, great closer. He was also kind of crazy. But I definitely remember him being the dominant force in the National League. He's only 38 years old. That's crazy.
Yeah. So he really could be still in the league, but he's not. Kill John Rocker.
Left-handed reliever who batted right. He's most known for his derogatory statements. I quote from a 2000 Sports Illustrated article about playing in New York. He said, "I'd retire first. It's the most hectic, nerve-wracking city. Imagine having to take the 7 train to the ballpark looking like you're riding through Beirut next to some kid with purple hair, next to some queer with AIDS, right next to some dude who just got out of jail for the 4th time, next to some 20-year-old mom with 4 kids. It's depressing. The biggest thing I don't like about New York are the foreigners. You can walk an entire block in Times Square and not hear anybody speaking English. Asians and Koreans and Vietnamese and Indians and Russians and Spanish people and everything up there, how the hell did they get in this country?" He goes on to say, "Nowhere else in the country do people spit at you, throw bottles at you, throw quarters at you, throw batteries at you and say, 'Hey, I did your mother last night. She's a whore. I talked about what degenerates they were, and they proved me right.'"
I give him credit for slandering everything and everybody within that paragraph. Like, he didn't miss anything, did he?
No, he didn't mention black people.
Yeah, but here's the funny thing, though. I remember when he made that statement, it seemed like his game went downhill after that. Because before
too much
right.
pressure, man.
Off.
Too much pressure after you made those comments. They made such a big deal out of it. I mean, which they probably should have. But, you know, the pressure coming down in a city like New York after you ran your mouth, man. Austin, you got something on that? Because I got nothing to say about dude.
Yo,
like that.
Kill, set it up.
What
yo,
can you
read
say?
The interview, and that's it.
Yeah, hey, so we can just go ahead and move on.
Hey,
John Rocker,
hey,
it's off his new,
Dad.
Yo.
Huh? Yeah, real quick, he said he's supposed to refer to a black teammate, Randall Simon, as a fat monkey.
Dang, there you go.
Well, that covers,
there you go.
That covers everything. He was off his rocker.
He's about 6'6" with the with the minority groups. John Rocker, everybody. And as we watch the Yankees get hammered 6-0 in the bottom of the 5th, our last birthday of the night is one Mr. Daniel John Willard Ferry, a.k.a. Danny Ferry, who turns 46 this week.
My birthday! Yay!
Jimmy, Danny Ferry.
Danny Ferry, and I think of him, I think of Duke University and how much I despise them. But it's interesting because me and Deb were talking about Danny Ferry, and you look back, you forget that he was the number 2 pick of the draft. Like, you know, in college he balled out, but again, everybody from Duke does. And his pro career, you know, wasn't as great as his college career. But he had a, you know, long career. I believe he played for the Cavaliers. He played for the Spurs as well. Role player, solid role player, but, you know, that's pretty much it. But he was drafted ahead of guys like Glenn Rice and Tim Hardaway, you know, so.
Yeah. Don't ask us why we were talking about Danny Ferry. We don't really know.
Yeah, we just be having random conversations. But, yeah, like, he was drafted ahead of Glenn Rice and Tim Hardaway, so definitely was an underachiever considering where he was drafted. But, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he was definitely really good at Duke, so. You know, I ain't going to slander his draft position too much. It happens that way. You know, you play great in college, and then some people are just better suited for the NBA game. Like you said, that happens with a lot of dudes out of Duke. But he's become a pretty good GM in the league. You know,
that's
and,
true.
You know, between his time in Cleveland and San Antonio, like, he's become a really good GM. So we're going to see what he continues to do.
Hey, Dev.
Be Austin. Yo.
Dev, you just brought up him being a GM. Maybe you can answer this question real quick. We were talking a couple minutes ago when you stepped away about in sports, like Mike Ditka, for argument's sake, he was a great player, then became a great coach. Is it possible to go into any of these Hall of Fames multiple times, whether that be basketball or football?
I don't think so. I don't know. It probably is, though, actually, because a lot of people go into the Hall of Fame just as a coach or something like that.
Yeah, that's
so
what I'm saying.
You,
so like,
yeah, so you probably could go into the Hall of Fame twice.
You know who will have to research? Dick LeBeau. Because Dick LeBeau was a hell of a defensive back.
And a
heck of a DC.
Yeah, I'm not 100%
but
sure, but it seems feasible to me.
Danny,
it's definitely
Danny
not applicable
not
to Danny Ferry.
Player.
Hold on.
Yeah, that's true. Keep that GM game going.
Be awesome. What do you got? What do you think about Danny Ferry?
Kind of pretty much what y'all said. Just, you know, he was a decent 3-point shooter. You know, he's kind of a stretch the floor big man. He could hit from outside. That's about it for his game. He had like no hair on the top of his head pretty early on in his career. So suffered from the receding hairline.
Doc Bay.
That's
about it. Yeah. What we don't know about Danny Ferry.
he's from the D.C. area. His father, Bob Ferry, was a player, a coach, and a general manager for the Baltimore Bullets, now known as the Washington Wizards. He followed in the footsteps of his dad as an NBA player and general manager as well. He played at the renowned Damascus Catholic High School in Maryland, which is part of the WCAC conference. He was the number one player in the country in 85, started Duke. I remember when they put Temple out of the tournament, Mark Makin's freshman year, when Temple was number one. Most of the year, and he was supposed to be the next Larry Bird, but he wound up only averaging 7 points and two rebounds.
Wait, hold on. Y'all know every time we say Mark Makin, we gotta say Shaking Bacon Mark Makin.
Yes, sir.
He was supposed to be the next Larry Bird.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the next Larry Bird. That's just comparing.
That's hilarious.
Because he was white.
Now, from now on, he's Larry Turd. Yeah.
Jim, everybody white and tall is supposed to be the next Larry Bird.
Yeah.
But look, those are your birthdays. Jimmy's going to let everybody know what happened this week while y'all were on that grind trying to get that money.
Absolutely. And while you were on the grind, it's brought to you by Bay Financial Services. Go to our website, which is warroomsports.com, and click on the Bay Financial Services logo. Got to get your money right. What's up, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
Yo, man, I am doing what I do best in life, so I'm ecstatic.
Yeah, I'm excited, too. My application just got accepted for the Illuminati, so I'm now a member. So I'm kind of excited tonight. But let's jump right into these grind topics. Evander Holyfield says that he is retiring. Now,
what?
Who didn't know that he wasn't retired already?
Everyone but him, apparently.
Yeah, I think Austin's right. I think he might be the only dude.
I'd like to explain something. You know, I ain't punchy. I got what you call, like, I don't know, a relaxed brain, but I ain't punchy, you know. It's just...
Yo, dude, while Mike Tyson gets all of the acclaim for blowing money fast, yo, Evander was not far behind
him. And yeah, honest, I mean, Evander, speak to that point. I think because he's broke,
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
So if somebody says, hey, Evander, here's 100K. Here's 100K. He's coming back.
Yo, kills at 100K.
100K. This dude is making 20, 30 million. But here's the thing, though. It's one of those things, B. Austin, where they were looked at as two different guys. They were from two different places, and they carried themselves different. So Evander didn't receive, like, half of the slander that Mike did, even though Evander, refused to wear protection.
In fairness to Evander, Mike blew $350 million. Evander blew like $200 million.
Yeah, but Evander Holyfield was irresponsible making all those babies. Like, there's no way. He was knocking out everything.
He's a God-fearing Christian man and said, go forth, be fruitful, and multiply.
I mean, that's another argument we can get into.
Yo, but actually, you know, taking it to his career, though, you know, he has to be up there in heavyweight lore. I mean, the dude took every fight that was out there, you know what I'm saying?
He had some
battles with some of the best heavyweights of his era.
Yeah, I respect it.
Yeah, you definitely got to respect it. And plus, you know, remember he came up from, he was like the cruiserweight champion.
Yeah, he was.
At one point.
Lower than that, too.
He started lower than that.
He had heart. You gotta respect his dog game. He definitely had a night. Yeah, I mean, he just nice with the dog game.
Right after Buster Douglas shocked the world, Evander went and like snatched that. Like, let me hold that from you. You know, he beat George Foreman on his comeback. He had some epic bouts with Riddick Bowe. Michael Moore, you know, he beat him to regain the WBA heavyweight title. He fought Lennox Lewis, like, the dude, you know, he fought all
things. Let me ask you a question. What is your biggest memory of Evander Holyfield? With all that being said, all the great battles
getting
he had.
Getting his ear bit.
When you first think of him, that's what I want. Is that what you think of, Austin?
Getting his ear bit. Him,
how about you, Dad?
He got TCH'ing in the ring because his ear was gone in Mike Tyson's stomach.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be that. Like, some dude bit your ear off. At your job.
That's crazy.
But let me ask you a question real quick with Evander.
Yeah.
Does the 10 losses, does that move him down, in your opinion?
Not at all. Because it goes back to the point that I just made. He fought everybody.
Okay.
And some of them losses, you know, came when he was already punching.
That's one thing that bothers me about boxing culture in general is, like, people act when you get that one loss on your record like, oh, God, you're no good anymore.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And that's ridiculous. Like, you know, not to compare to MMA, but some of the best fighters got 10, 12 losses, but they fight whoever's in front of them. You know what I'm saying? And it's like with boxing, and, you know, not to turn this into a boxing debate, but even with people talking about Floyd not wanting to take that loss, that bothers me. Like, so what you lose, you get back up and you keep fighting again.
But see, but that's the thing. That might be why he's afraid to do it, because of that boxing culture. Every time a great fighter, like you said, every time somebody takes a loss, the questions after the fight are, is this dude done? Is his career over? Should he retire?
Yeah,
like, yo, he just lost once. Like, what are you talking
about? Times straight,
you
lose one fight, yo, his career is over.
I have to really thank Deb, because I appreciate him explaining the root of Floyd's cowardice.
I mean, you know, that's a matter of opinion. But I'm just saying, do you understand what I mean about the culture, though? Because it's not, it's the fans as well. It's like the media and everything that's in boxing. It's like Deb said, you can win 50 straight, you lose one fight, and they're like, you know, questioning your career.
Oh, you know Rocky Marciano. Hey, his first fight was in 1984. That was Holyfield's first fight as a light heavyweight.
Anyway, man, let's move on from Evander Holyfield, man. You know, he's retired. He had a great career. You know, it is what it is. Let's talk about A-Rod. The story is A-Rod was trying to get a chick's number during game one of the ALCS.
I'm not mad at you, A-Rod.
You know what I'm saying? So how do you guys, what do you guys call it? I mean, you're all men, you know what I mean? So you know,
first of all,
like, you know, scoop up.
First of all, the situation was, you know, first of all, you're A-Rod. You know, you're one of the greatest players, well, up until, like, now when everybody just thinks that you've fallen off the earth. You're one of the greatest players of all time. Even because you're struggling, your manager pinch hits for you in game one of the ALCS. I look at it as a move of rebellion. Like, you're going to sit me on the bench, I'm going to do what I do over here then. Like, what he did, he had a ball delivered to two female fans in the crowd. And he wrote a message on the ball asking them for their numbers. And they said the newspaper identified the women as Kyna Tracy, an Australian bikini model, and her friend Kate Quinn. So your man A-Rod was upset because he got benched. So he figured he's going
to
set up a threesome for later. I have
You're
no problem.
Get a Minaj.
I have no problem with
it.
My only issue is if I'm A-Rod, I literally don't even talk to women. Like, do I have somebody to do all that stuff? I mean, if I'm
like,
A-Rod,
like,
I'm
man,
probably,
AI.
Yo, he didn't. Yo, he wrote it on a baseball,
yo,
and sent it.
I'm
over
not
there.
Even communicating with him, yo.
Who that reminds you of? Jimmy?
I might not even speak to him when they get back to the crib. I go, if I'm A-Rod, I got me a Memphis Bleek that's gonna walk around and get all the, you know what I mean, do, handle all that for me. But go ahead.
Yo, that's what he did, man. He sent the ball boy over there with the ball. Like,
sound like magic.
And
yo,
with the type of money that A-Rod has, he probably broke the ball boy off with like 10 stacks.
Yo, he sounds like somebody I know used to write stuff on napkins to chicks and, you know, tell them to fill out their information.
smoke you, man. Smoke.
A-Rod was dugout pimping, and I'm all for it, you know.
Even though you're in a slump and, you know, you're not playing your best ball, you have no problem with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I like
it. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
It's one of those things where, okay, the news about him was so terrible and everybody is down on him. You know, including me. You know, A-Rod is choking again, this and that. He redeemed himself with me. I don't know what he did. You know, I'm sure he didn't. He's a Yankees fan. But with me, he's fully redeemed.
You're not rooting for the Yankees. You're rooting for the player. So that's a move that a player makes.
And we're not
now,
talking about a baseball player.
I'll separate the two. I'll separate him trying to to be a yam farmer during the game versus his play on the field. He's making $30 million a year, and he's getting pulled out the lineup. He's batted .209 in the postseason over the last 7 years with the Yankees, except for that year they beat the Phillies. So basically, he gets the award this year.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
You know what,
you okay?
I have a little rebuttal for that, but, you know, we're going to talk about it in a few minutes anyway, so I'll wait till we get to that segment.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
So we'll talk about A-Rod and his struggles in a couple
minutes.
Let's
jump to another story real quick. Let's talk about Al Jefferson. I don't know if you guys saw this story, but Al Jefferson went to buy new furniture for his house. He was looking for a bed. So he spent $23,000 on the bed. And it was a gigantic.
Yo, have you guys seen pictures of this? If you haven't, we have to show. We got to post a picture on the Facebook. Remember, Al Jefferson is like 6'11", 7 foot. This bed, he looks like a baby laying in his bed.
Al Jefferson realizes the amount of talent that he has and wonders in his mind why he's not a star. And so now he just figured, I'm going to do drawing stuff to get in the media because my ball game ain't getting me there. It ain't going to happen.
I mean, part of it is where he plays. But anyway.
Yeah, it's hard to be a superstar there unless your name is Stockton and Malone. So.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, I really have nothing to say about this. I mean, we make
no, all I
got to
say about that
too.
Is 30 for 30. All I got to say is 30 for 30. That's
yeah,
all I got.
He may be in a BMF segment soon coming to you.
Hashtag BMF.
He's on money fast. Now, I will say this. There is, if you go to these mattress places, you know, you can get yourself the top of the line Tempur-Pedic for $10,000, but not too many people buy that. So for $23,000, I'm like, come on, brother.
Yeah. Y'all have to see the size of this bed. I'm going to post it in a minute.
Last story, real quick. I mean, everybody's seen it. It's been talked about all over the world. I've heard people in the stores talking about it. Because this is a sports show, we always talk about like the pugilistic game. So, the Cleveland bus driver.
The Cleveland bus driver.
Yeah,
go ahead, bro.
He had
the Mortal Kombat bus driver.
My question to you guys is: as a matter of fact, Dad, don't you have a?
Yeah. I mean, we started the show with it. I mean, this is the uppercut heard around the world. This was the audio of it.
You can actually hear it.
Yo, seriously, Jim? Like you said, we talk about boxing in the war room all the time. We watch boxing. We're big boxing fans. Jimmy's a big MMA fan. He's converting the rest of us. This, truthfully, was the greatest uppercut I've ever seen in my life. The form was nice. He caught her square on the chin, just like, you know, where you're supposed to catch somebody when you throw the uppercut. It lifted off her feet, and then after he uppercutted her, he just took her and just slung her off the bus and then threw her stuff behind her. Yo, it was crazy. I don't condone this, but, you know,
we can go into a whole show about that. Because I don't know how you guys feel in terms of, like, you know, I mean,
I'm not being a man who never hit a woman.
Hey, she hit him. She punched him in his face. She spit on him. You know, she was all in his face like she was a dude. And my man told her.
I don't care. If she want to be a man, I'm going to treat you like a man.
Yeah, so my thing is, you know, like, unless you're Sean Connery, you shouldn't be, like, you know, just hitting women. But she did spit on him. She hit him and all that.
To be honest, to all people out there, what do you do? Because I've heard some very judgmental things being said.
Yeah.
To all the people out there, I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying it's right. I don't hit women. But what would you do if another human being spat on you, punched you, mushed you, cursed you out, and then stole you with this?
So how he gonna scream? You going to jail now and then steal her? I knew he was gonna get her right.
Maybe that's what he called putting people to sleep with that uppercut. He called it jail.
Some folks say I'm gonna bend your trash can up. Shout out to Mr. Chambers, and he send them to jail.
Yeah,
he put her to sleep. Solid.
All right, go ahead,
Kevin. The sports point that's missing here is. This female could possibly have a promising career in the field of women's MMA or women's boxing because the way she came back from that ridiculous blow, I mean, it shows that she has a strong chin and she might have a career in one of those sports.
She took that, didn't she, Kim? she took that. Like, her chin, and she even got interviewed, and this was one of the questions she was asked and interviewed, and we can wrap it up here. You know, we also, you can tell everybody how to get in contact with us right after she finishes her explanation of the whole thing.
Yeah, but Shadir, you were on the receiving end of one of the most talked about uppercuts. What did that feel like?
I was on Mortal Kombat. It just hurt it. Like, it was like a finish him. You know what I'm saying? Type of hit.
Really?
Finish
it. Hurt it. First of all, it hurt it with an ED. It hurt it.
Yo,
listeners,
man,
do you think,
the
man?
War Room will never hurt at you. I promise. The War Room will not hurt at you. Check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the Memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise, and then click on the Blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. I guess that lady riding the bus found out that all is fair. Click on the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app for your Android or Apple devices. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click on the Follow Us tab to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, so raise your hand. One of the War Room professors may just call on you.
Damn right. Yo, we just want to give a quick shout-out, quick War Room shout-out to writer extraordinaire, at KCMAC38, Leroy McConnell. He and his wife celebrating 15 years of marriage today. So happy anniversary to you guys. Shout out from the War Room. Now,
absolutely.
Take your wife out and have a good time. But
absolutely.
Rank like,
Top 5 also wanted you guys to know that the uppercut was a drunken monkey style uppercut. So, you know.
I hit her with the drunken monkey. You going to jail now? All right. So, Jump into a couple of hot topics real quick. You know what I'm saying? Hot topics are brought to you by Audible. Your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Sounded like I was from Baltimore when I said that. Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you could be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the very same time. The NHL, fellas, seemed like it was good news that came down the pipe this week. The owners and the league made an offer, 50-50 split on the revenue. Said they could still get in the 82-game season with 1 week of training camp. They met today to get the players' answer on this, and the players came back with 3 more proposals. And Gary Bettman, the commissioner, says that these proposals were nowhere near the 50-50 split that they proposed to the players. So the players came back and basically said FOH when everybody in America thought that they had a deal and hockey was about to be back. So we go on. We move on with the lockout. The MLB playoffs, of course, still going on. We're in conference championship, the league championship series, ALCS and NLCS. St. Louis is up. Did they play earlier today? They didn't play earlier today. They played the nightcap, right?
Yeah.
Louis. They're up 2-1 on San Francisco.
Didn't
and right now, the Yankees. the Yankees are getting drubbed in a game four that was postponed because of weather last night. They're down 6-1 in the sixth inning with Jabba Chamberlain on the mound. It's not looking too good for the Yankees. But
Jabba!
Speaking of the Yankees, man, you know, Derek Jeter went down earlier in the series in a loss, in an extra inning loss. And it was your boy, Jimmy, former Philly. What's that dude's name, man?
Baañez.
Baañez. Yeah, he played Mr. Hero and put the game in the extra inning. If it wasn't for him being Mr. Hero again, Derek Jeter might still be walking. He might still be upright. The Cap had a great career. Do you think Derek Jeter is done, or do y'all think he'll be back?
No, he'll be back. He'll be back just like I think Ray Lewis will be back. I don't think they want to retire due to an injury. And with the technology and everything, that in the rehab facilities that are out there, hyperbaric chambers, the Kobe German doctor, blood fluoresis treatment, they'll both be back.
I don't even know.
Yeah, that might be true.
Adrian
Peterson
will be back as well.
Yeah.
What do you say, Jim? What do you think?
No, I was just thinking that I don't know what else there is for him to do in the sport, but I do understand the notion of not wanting to go out on an injury. But you know, it's just that I don't know what you would come back for. Either one of those guys, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, the question.
Leroy says Jeter has records to break.
Yeah, I was about to say he's close to a lot of records. So I agree with you guys thinking that Jeter will definitely try to make a comeback because, he's just too close to a lot of things just to go out like that.
I understand that, but it's like I think of Jeter, I don't think about someone like, you know, chasing records, so to speak. I think that Jeter's one of those guys.
You
know,
you play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's what I think of when I think of Jeter. But
you're saying that. I think Jeter chasing Wilt. I think he chasing
Wilt. What about Pete Rose? Did y'all hear Pete Rose say that Jeter will never get 5,000 hits?
I didn't hear that he said that, but, I mean, it's probably true. But
I mean, he just want attention, that's all. Didn't just want attention. Yeah. He's a drunken
monkey. Like, if I say something every once in a while, then maybe they'll still consider me for the Hall of Fame. But back to the A-Rod thing real quick. So we talked about it a little bit earlier because of what he was doing in the dugout, but in game one he was pinch hit for. Then he was essentially benched. Like, he wasn't even on the lineup. He's not in the lineup tonight, I don't believe. Like, what do you guys – I mean, he gets paid what he gets paid. You know, his numbers are what they are. Like I said, his numbers – would tell you he's one of the greatest players in the history of baseball. Like, how can somebody fall off this far that quick? Like, how is A-Rod?
Overrated! I've always thought that he's overrated. But then,
baseball is the ultimate.
My baseball acumen is nowhere near basketball, football, track, or soccer.
Baseball is the game.
Meaning like 12 sports.
The you know how people use the cliche that, you know,
game
don't like, the numbers don't lie,
game
blah, blah, blah. Yeah, baseball is the closest thing to that. So, I mean, I've never really looked at A-Rod as overrated. I mean, I'm sure a lot of Yankees fans do.
Well,
it's like one of those things where.
You know what it is.
A-Rod might be the best
clutch,
regular season player ever.
Clutch gene. I overweight the clutch gene, and to me, he's not clutch. So he's like a Peja Stojakovic or a Chris Webber putting up huge numbers. But when it's nut cutting time, it's like, look,
yeah,
I
but
got
they don't
your
put up, they don't put up the equivalent in their sport that A-Rod
That's
does
all we got.
Sport.
One goddamn hit. Yes, goddamn on air. Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Yo, but the thing is, like what I was going to say to Kill earlier in rebuttal, it kind of seemed like, I mean, and I guess when you're the top dog, you take the brunt of everything. I guess A-Rod is the equivalent of a quarterback in the NFL because nobody on the Yankees are hitting right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like the whole lineup is giving you nothing except for maybe with the exception of Ichiro. He, due to hitting his sleep.
He always hitting.
Yeah. But
A-Rod,
like,
A-Rod getting that chicken, though.
That's like when Kill read his stats. I'm like, I was about to tell him, but I didn't want to prolong that segment. I was like, yo, read everybody else's stats. you know, on the Yankees, and especially what they're doing this series.
Well, I guess what it has to do with the $30 million. Like, when you look at the $30 million, it's like, okay, well, maybe we need to pay you $15 million. You see what I'm saying? Or $17 million.
Well, the Marlins are supposedly, you know, talking about A-Rod and maybe bringing him in. If he goes anywhere, if the Yankees give up on him, they'll probably have to eat most of that contract,
he'll
if
eat,
not all of it.
He'll eat over $90 million.
What's he do, like 115, something
he
like
do
that?
Like 114.
Yeah.
Here's the crazy part. As bad as that is, right, I think he'll be 42 when that contract's over. As bad as that is, mark my word, your man Pujols is going to be worse.
I don't know. No doubt. I mean, when you sign those kind of contracts, and they're going to end the contract in their 40s. I mean, we talked about that when they were talking those numbers with Pujols. Like, I think they know that, you know, they're going to be just basically wasting money at the end of that contract. I don't think they thought with A-Rod that they were going to be wasting money this early in the contract, but they definitely knew that they were going to be eating money
capable,
the last 2 or 3 years.
I think he's capable of playing, still playing at a high level. But to quote Chris Carter, who now goes by CC for some reason, that's a little sweet, ain't nobody got more quit in it than A-Rod. Ain't nobody. He got that quit. I really think he's shut it down. Not because he's done, he's not motivated.
I don't know. I'm not as hard on A-Rod as everybody else. But like I said, I'm not a Yankees fan, so I don't care as much as they do. You know what I'm saying?
But
I guess
you appreciate his other sport of yam farming. You appreciate his contribution to the yam, community.
He and Kobe are supposed to be friends now, so Kobe was telling the media that he actually called him and gave him a little pep talk, and the media asked him a few questions, and of course it was more than what we have here, but this was a portion of the Kobe interview on A-Rod.
Those are friends, right?
No, I mean we're different, but I mean he's talking about he's one of the best to ever play. Period. You know, I think really the difference is sometimes he forgets he's the best. You know what I mean? And where, you know, I don't.
So I mean, so even Kobe is basically saying he thinks it's a confidence thing. And, you know, I heard one of the baseball experts talking, I think it was on Mike and Mike this morning, and they were saying how A-Rod has always been like that, though. They said he'll go into the locker room, you know, back in his early days. He'll go into the clubhouse, you know, he might have gone 5 for 5, and he's in there sitting next to and talking to somebody who may have gone 0 for 4, but he's the one sitting there worrying, asking the dude, like, you know, what did my swing look like, you know, stuff like that. So it might be one of those things where he's an uber-talented cat that just lacks for confidence.
Yeah,
and we know Kobe Bryant doesn't have that problem.
LeRoy brought up a great point in our chat room. He said A-Rod, pitchers have never been scared to pitch to him, and that's why he doesn't believe, you know, he's the best. Because a lot of other great players get intentionally walked or pitched around, but nobody's ever been scared to pitch to A-Rod.
Yeah, but I mean, well, I can see if he means back in the day, but in the Yankee lineup, how the hell are you going to pitch around anyway?
I mean, yeah, this is true, but even when he played in Texas. And,
didn't he play 10 years? Didn't he play 10 years in Texas?
No, not that many.
Wasn't 10 years.
No, he started out in Seattle, then went to Texas, then went to the Yankees.
Yeah.
Ask Roy. He's definitely one of our baseball writers. 7 years? Okay.
Hold up.
He's been with the Yankees 7 years.
He said 5 years. 5 years. He's been 7 years with the Yankees. 5 years, and then 4 years with 17. So he got that many years in?
Yeah. I mean, he got a lot of years, and he on his second diesel contract. Like,
yeah. And remember, that Seattle team had Randy Johnson, Ken Griffey Jr., Alex Rodriguez, and Edgar Martinez. Like, they were getting it.
Damn.
All right. So, hey, Jim. I saw the number now. I thought that might have been our guest. He should be calling. That might be him right there. Can you check that out? One more thing we're going to talk about while Jimmy gets our guest ready. The NBA, they made a new 90-second clock after player introductions to start the games faster. They felt that there was too much going on between the end of the player introductions and the start of the game. You know how you know, all the guys, the young guys got special handshakes that take 10 seconds, and they go down the line and do it with everybody on the team. They got a chest bump, all the coaches, fist bump, everybody at the scorer's table, throw chalk in the air, you know, all that kind of stuff. What do you guys think about?
Shots fired.
What do you think about this new rule in the NBA?
I think it's corny. Me personally, I like to see John Wall get his Dougie Monkey on. So they're taking away from my entertainment. That's what I go to see John Wall dance. I guess because he darn sure can't shoot. He don't play D. So I go to see him run fast, pass the ball, and dance.
Hey, well, we actually put it out there on our social media pages, and a lot of people don't like it. They say that, you know, it's like the NFL. They're trying to take the fun out of the game.
Yeah,
and this and that. I personally don't care. Like, you know, I'd rather see the game start. I don't think it's a problem if they didn't make the rule that I'd be sitting around complaining. But at the same time, I can use, you know, 4 less minutes of handshakes. Like, shake his hand in the locker room. Shake his hand somewhere else. Like, do that in the layup line, but... You know, but a lot of fans seem to think they're taking the fun out of the game. I have no problem with it.
It does get kind of irritating, especially with I don't want to keep bashing on the Heat, but these guys like make a game out of it in itself with all the handshakes and the dancing and
fake cameras.
It's like, come on, man, cut it out, y'all.
Yeah, Shaq started that whole thing in Phoenix when they were
that's
faking.
Before the
All right, so, yeah, Kill, you got any thoughts on that real quick before we move on to
our guest? The only thing is if I'm going to a game and I'm running late, like, I probably need to run a second so I can get to my seat.
Kill be in the parking lot like, man, I hope them dudes in there doing them special handshakes.
I hope they crip walking.
I know, right? All right, everybody, we're about to go to our guest because he is on the line. You know him because he's been on the show twice before. He is the War Room's favorite MMA fighter. Of course, besides being an MMA fighter, he's a trainer. He owns his own school, MMA and Sport, and he is also CEO of KSEF Entertainment. We want to welcome back into the War Room for the third time to talk about his upcoming bout on Saturday, Kyle Sefcik. Kyle, you are in the War Room. What's going on, brother?
What's up, man? That was a pretty triumphant, intro there.
You're the War Room's official MMA fighter, man. We gotta do it the right way when you come on.
You know I love you guys, man.
No doubt. You know the War Room. We love you back. Let's jump right into it because you know you got the big fight coming up, and I know the people out there wanna. You know, they want to get the information on that. But before we discuss Saturday's fight, you know we got to ask you how MMA and Sport is going because, you know, B. Austin and I attended the grand opening some months back, and it was a very impressive place. So how are things coming along?
Well, MMA and Sport, man, is going great, man. We're very blessed. We've been open about 6 months. And in the 6 months, we've developed a school that, you know, has taken other schools, I would say, about 3 to 4 years. So in about 6 months, you know, we're on a really accelerated place. We're bringing in, like, just awesome people, and that's really what makes us school. If you go to other gyms in the area, you see, like, if they don't have a lot of people there, it's probably because they don't have the right kind of people there. Well, the people coming through our doors are just awesome people, not just fighters, but family people as well, you know? So we're growing very well, and we're looking to do, you know, bigger and better things with it as things go. So we're 6 months in. Hopefully by next 6 months, we're talking about you guys coming to another school.
Cool.
Okay. Okay. That's nice.
Wow.
That's nice. Hey, Kyle, this is a Kill, and I have a question for you. What are your future plans for MMA and Sport and your other business venture, KSEF Entertainment?
All right, well, future plans, I mean, we're going to have to talk for about 24 hours if you want to do that. But no, MMA and Sport, basically future plans is just growing as a facility, not just, you know, where we're at now, but opening up another one and continue the growth with, you know, people getting in shape, you know, having a place for people to basically call a home. And along with that, you know, keep producing great fighters, which are coming out of our school. That's along the MMA and Sport line. And then KSEF Entertainment, We're growing with so much with that. You know, we started out, you know, commercially with, you know, weddings and birthday parties and school functions and stuff like that. But now we've grown into throwing these huge music festivals that are literally bringing over 1,000 people, 2,000 people to each event. And they're only growing. So we're really excited to continue that as well.
Hey, Kyle, okay. Real quick, for the listeners who haven't heard you on the show before, you know, just tell them exactly what KSF Entertainment is, because they might be, they might not be following.
KSF Entertainment is an entertainment company where we, you know, we basically have a bunch of DJs, bands, producers, you know, artists, basically all aspects of music and entertainment that, you know, people look for these days. You know, we're a clean company, but we, and we do things right, no matter if it's, you know, a club in D.C. or if it's a four-year-old birthday party. We got all kinds of things, and like I said, with MMA and sport, we always have the right personnel in there. Same thing with KSF Entertainment, and it continues to grow, and we're just going to keep doing things the correct way and make sure that keeps going.
Okay, cool. Kyle, what's going on? This is Jimmy. I want to talk about this weekend's fight. For those that don't know, it's the Shogun Fights event at the First Mariner Arena in Baltimore, Maryland. It's on Saturday. It starts at 7 p.m. Now, I've read that First Mariner holds about 14,000 people, but that they'll cut the number down some for this event. My question to you is, how do you think fighting in a venue of this size like will affect you? Is it any different than fighting in a smaller one? Because this is a huge crowd.
Let me tell you something. The fights that I've been in, I've done greatly better in, you know, largely better in when there was more people. So I'm really excited to have this. They're going to have at least – they sell the show out every time, and actually they've already – they sent me a message earlier saying it's already sold out. So they're going to have at least 7,000 people there. And like you said, you know, they do cut the 14,000 down to the 7,000 because they put other things in there to make it smaller. But there'll be about 7,000 people there. And, you know, I really am going to thrive off that because I have a lot of, you know, friends, family, and supporters that are going to be there. And when you have that, you know, along with adrenaline and a cage, knowing those people are there to support you, you know, it really aids to when I fight personally. So, I mean, I'm actually excited about that.
Yeah, no, I came to your last fight, and you had, like, half the crowd was there for you. So I know that you packed the house.
Yeah, I mean, that meant so much to me that everybody was there and stuff like that, and hopefully it's the same deal with this one as well.
Absolutely.
So Kyle, what do you know about your opponent, Micah Terrell? Like, where is he from? What's his record, his fighting style? And basically, what do you need to do to beat him?
All right. Well, I know, first of all, he's 6'1". You know, he's got a few inches on me, which is awesome. You know, he started out as a Muay Thai guy, stand-up fighter, and you've been watching tapes on him, and he is quick, you know, very talented, and his ground game was always a little shaky, so I know the last couple of years he's really been training with this guy, Vasante Jr., who I've actually had the chance to train with in the past as well. Vasante Jr. is one of the best BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guys in the world, and I know he's been training with that guy recently, you know, to prepare him for this fight. So I know he's going to be, you know, along the lines of, you know, stand-up and ground is going to be very even. So, you know, I have to be ready for both aspects of what we're going to be doing in the fight, and I will be. But I also know, you know, he has a lot of heart, and, you know, there's going to be two guys in that cage that are really, you know, giving their heart on the line. And, you know, this guy's goal is to go be champion of the UFC one day, and I'm in his way. So it's just up to me to, you know, stop that. So we're going to have a good fight. I promise everybody that comes out that there will be some awesome things that we do in this fight. And you guys will see two guys that really just have a lot of heart that want to battle it out, that have been training, you know, nonstop for the last 8 to 10 years.
Got it.
Kyle, what up? This is B.
What's up?
Man, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Let us in on your training regimen for the fight, bro. I know you train every day, anyhow, because of the school, but how long out did you begin specifically preparing for this bout, and what does a day of training entail?
Well, that's a great question, actually, because I'm a very, very different when it comes to training. I train – what I mean by that is my regimen is so different because I'm so busy in the everyday life. You know, it's not like I have a normal job and a 9-to-5 job and I can train before and after. I'm busy with so many things that I'm doing, and so obviously, yes, with MMA and sport, I'm able to train every day because I'm with these guys. And actually, I see it as a very beneficial tool for my training because I'm doing these classes with them. And even when I'm teaching myself as well. So that a big part of training. And other than that, I like to do cross-training, not CrossFit training, cross-training. And I like to do other things other than the whole MMA field, like rock climbing and yoga and, you know, playing basketball, stuff like that. So my mind's always racing. My body's always moving in different ways to prepare me for, you know, whatever brings in this fight. So I'm a very untraditional fighter, meaning I don't train three times a day like my opponent is, you know, traditionally focusing on this fight solely for 2 months. For the last 4 years, you know, all I do day in and day out is teach and train. And that's what basically my training regimen is. But the biggest part, the hardest part about this whole training regimen has been the weight cut. I walk around at 195. Last time you guys saw me, you guys gave me a hug. I don't even think you could fit your arms around me. But now, you know, now I'm 175 right now, and I'm not eating and drinking for the next 24 hours until weigh-ins tomorrow night, where I'll be at 170 for the fight. That's the hardest part. I don't know if you've ever, you know, not drinking, you know, anything or not eating for 24 hours, but that's very, very.
I can't do 24 minutes, Kyle. You're talking about 24 hours.
it plays with you, but you know what the best thing about that is? It tests you as well, and it just prepares you that much more for a fight. You get you know, totally in the zone even more.
I mean, that doesn't do anything for, like, your energy level, you know, come fight night?
No, because, I mean, I promise you this. When we do this cut, it's like a water weight cut. We do it right. I promise you it'll be 100%, if not better, you know, at the time, you know, 7 p.m. comes around for the fights. I do it right. You know, I'm not, like, not eating and shriveling up and not working out. Like, I'm feeling good, man, you know?
Right. All right, Cal. What's up with these rumors that we're hearing about this possibly being your last fight? Is there any merit to what we're hearing here? Because, like I said, man, you're the War Room's official MMA fighter, man. Is it true?
Hey, man. Hey, first of all, it sounded like you started to tear up a little bit.
I'm welling up over here, man.
I say that for now, and I'm kind of sticking to that for now, because if you guys know me, a lot of the listeners may not know me, you know, personally, but everybody who does know me personally, I have so many other things going on and so many bigger things I want to do in this world. I hate to say it like that, but, you know, being a professional fighter is just one step on the ladder of kind of what I'm trying to – my ultimate goal is in this world. And when it comes to the fighting world, I would rather train champions than be one. Does that make sense to you? I get so much more out of coaching and instructing and, you know, with these guys day in and day out, seeing them succeed than me, you know, solely focusing on myself to be a champion. I don't know if that makes sense to you guys, but that's truly how I feel.
No, I mean, that's cool. I can understand that. I definitely can understand.
So for now, I say that, and, you know, my mom, you know, that makes my mom very happy, but who knows, you know, we might talk in a couple years, and I'm saying, hey, we got another fight. Let's do it.
Yeah, you may get that pitch to go in there and punch somebody in the face.
Exactly. I mean, I just turned 25, you know. The fighters aren't even into their prime until 30, 31, so you don't tear up too much yet, but I'm saying right now I'm going to take a little break from you know, fighting personally. I'll still be in the game because I'll be coaching and getting these guys where they need to be. But other than that, I'm going to take a little break for a little while.
Yeah, that's true. Like, and
like 20 years
is one of
your greatest lines. I swear to God, I was just getting started.
No, but his transition wouldn't be too bad if you came back, like you said, because you'll be in the game. You'll still be fighting every day, so...
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'll still be teaching and learning in this, you know, this sport that you can never be perfect at. I'm always going to be training every day to get better and better and better till I can be the best I possibly can, you know?
Hey, Kyle, I have one more question that actually came from our chat room. I know that you said before that you train so much that a lot of times you don't get to watch all the fights. But our question was from the chat room, who are some of the fighters that you consider to be some of the best pound for pound in mixed martial arts, if you had to name a couple?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The best fighters right now, pound for pound, is obviously everybody knows Anderson Silva. He's led, you know, he talks a big game, but you know what, he backs it up, so you can't really say anything about that. He's definitely been, like, one of the main guys. You have a newcomer, I guess he's a newcomer because he's a young boy, he's my age. He's 24, and his name is John Jones, and he's, like, the new, you know, phenomenon. Bones Jones. He's knocking, you know, he's wrecking through people. So those two right now, along with George St. Pierre, are my three guys that I believe, if any interest in it, and these guys at UFC, those are the three guys that I really would, gotcha. You know, like to see fight.
Yeah,
You know, two of the three.
Yeah, one last question that came from our chat room when you brought that up. They said, who would you take, GSP or Silva?
GSP or Silva? I would take GSP because I like him more as a person. I like them both as fighters, but GSP as a person is a much better person, and I take that any day.
Got you. Thank you. Ooh. Thanks. I told our chat room what you said. Thanks.
All right, so, Kyle, you know, every time you come on, we let you – you got to promote your company. So, you know, let everybody know before you get off the line, you know, where the MMA and sport is, how to contact you, KSF Entertainment, everything.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, I'm part of MMA and sport. You know, we're a family here in Damascus, Maryland, Montgomery County, and we're going to continue that to grow as that. And, you know, you can find us online at MMAandSport.com. Very simple. We're also all over Facebook. We also just got a new website up, so make sure you check that out. And then KSF Entertainment, you know, KSFEntertainment.com, very simple as well. We're also on Facebook. And other than that, you know, I just want to, you know, thank all the, you know, fans and supporters that are really going to be there this weekend, including you guys that always have my back because, you know, I'm fighting for all of us in there, and I'm going to leave it all in there for you guys.
Absolutely.
No
we'll
doubt.
See you there.
So we will see you on Saturday night. You know, you'll see. We'll pop up in the dressing room or somewhere prior to the fight and probably after the fight. But, of course, till Saturday night, good luck. We're going to be in the crowd cheering for you just like, you know, all your other supporters. And we hope you take care of Micah Terrell on Saturday
good luck
night.
And God bless.
Hey, I promise you guys fireworks, all right?
All right. That's what we like to hear.
All right,
that's what we like to hear. All right, Kyle Stefcik, everybody.
Bye,
all right, brother. Yes, sir. That is, man. That's, you know, Jimmy's gotten me into it. Still, it's a brutal sport. And
how many plays, yo?
Yo,
I
just for the people listening, maybe for the first time, I just want you to know. Last time we went to a live MMA event, somebody was getting their boots dusted, and Dev almost jumped in the ring to stop the fight from the crowd.
Damn sure did.
Throw him the towel. Yo, I forgot the name of that dude.
Supposed to be an extra magician.
Yo, I forgot the name of that dude, man. But the dude, he hit the canvas, and it looked like he was out. And dude kind of, like, straddled the dude to get on him and start punching him in his face.
Damn.
Yo, dude, like, dude was asleep. Man. And Dev felt mercy on his soul,
though. Yo, he like, got up and ran to the cage. He was like, stop the fight!
Like, hey, no. He said, lighten up. What's the matter with you guys? This is supposed to be an extra magician.
Yo,
what's the matter with you guys?
The thing that's funny about that event, it was this little, tiny black dude whose legs looked like redwood tree trunks. And I was praying. Yo, his opponent, I was praying. Most of his kicks missed, but if he'd have caught him, I swear to God, dude would have died, yo.
The redwood tree trunks, though?
Yo, them
dogs. I was on my John, like.
What are you guys doing? This is the main thing, and that's the victim. You understand? That's the
victim. He said, you understand our exhibition?
Yo, your man Thunderlips ain't know no better, though, man.
Yeah. All right, so I'm sure, as usual, if Mike B is going to call in and give us his locks of the week or if he's, you know, going to send them to me by text or whatever. But as usual, everybody, check out our website at warroomsports.com to call in and speak with us about any of today's topics. Dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. And, of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't give a shout-out to the Philadelphia Tribune and somebody we've known from back in the day, Lewis Bowling, who's a correspondent with the Tribune. They did a story on War Room Sports that ran in yesterday's Delaware County edition. I don't know if anybody listening lives in Delaware County up near, you know, up in Pennsylvania, but if you do, if there's any way possible, try to get your hands on a Philadelphia Tribune, Delaware County edition from yesterday and read the little article that they wrote about your boys.
Absolutely.
Shout out to the Tribune.
Okay.
And,
yo,
if
it's crazy
because
I still haven't read the. Jimmy's like the only one of us who's read the. Yeah, you're like the only one who's got to read the article.
Yo,
I don't even want you to tell me what it says, though.
Anybody see me in the streets, yo? I got a bunch of them in the car, you know?
Jim,
you know.
I don't want you to tell us about the article since you're the only one who read it. I just want you to stop me if I'm playing myself because I don't want to keep giving the Tribune shout-outs.
Oh, no,
know,
doubt. No,
I,
no, it's a great,
okay,
it's a great
I'm like,
article.
All right, I'm like, I don't want to keep giving them shout-outs, and then I read it, and they, like, totally crapped on
me. Oh, no, no, it's definitely a great article, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm ready to start quoting myself because I had some bars for the Tribune anyway.
It's good. I'm just
Jimmy
joking.
Who said that?
Yeah, I know Lou wouldn't let him do it like that.
I definitely
so.
I mean, not even just me. Austin had like a quotable in there too. Like Austin had some bars. He hit him with about quick 16. But anyway,
yo, that's,
let's talk some about NFL rap though. And by the way, for those listening, the NFL rap is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear the War Room on Stitcher Smart Radio, and Stitcher allows you to listen from anywhere, from your iPhone, your Android phone, your BlackBerry, your Palm phone, if you have them. And studies have shown that those who have BlackBerry phones are kind of depressed about their phones. It was on The Verge this week, and if you think I'm lying, that's a true story. So get rid of your BlackBerry or Palm phone, upgrade to an iPhone or Android, and download the War Room Sports app. But besides that, go to Stitcher.com/The War Room. That's one word, T-H-E-W-A-R-R-O-O-M. And when they ask you for the coupon code, put in The War Room. It'll enter you in a contest to win some money. With that being said, let's talk some football. First story I want to talk about, he's the official War Room Sports uncle, and that's Uncle Ray Lewis. He has a torn tricep, and he's done for the year, and some are saying possibly his career.
Ricky!
What are your thoughts on Ray Lewis?
Yo, first of all, my uncle isn't done until he says it's done. I just want y'all to know that.
Okay.
They put him on the IR, but it's the designation allows him to return from the IR. I've never heard of that, but
in 6 to 8 weeks,
put him on
the
IR,
can
come back in 6 to 8 weeks, which obviously would be probably the second to last or last week of the season, if not the playoffs. And I don't think Ray has too much love of the game to allow his legacy to end that way. I mean, in the eyes of almost everyone, no one would think less of him if he left after this injury at 37, but I don't think he could live with it. It's one of those things where I don't think he can walk away from the game without it being on his terms, so I do expect to see him come back, if not this season, next season, for at least one more run.
I
if
agree.
If it is the
Mr.
last, I mean, he's the greatest linebacker I ever saw.
Hey, I agree with Mr. Austin here because all Ray had to do after his torn tricep and everybody counting him out is just look in the mirror and start talking to himself. And just from that alone, he would be inspired to come back.
No doubt. Yeah, he's a hell of a motivational speaker. My thing was,
I think he's better with no arms than our linebackers last year with arms.
Who are our linebackers? Remember, we got new listeners every week, brother.
Oh, I apologize. Moise Foku,
Philadelphia Eagles is who B. Austin roots for and who he's talking about. I'm about to disown them myself. But back to Uncle Ray. I thought about it because, you know, in the latest interviews that you've seen with Ray Lewis and the Football Life documentary that they did on him, you know, he was definitely making it an emphasis that he wanted to spend time with his family, see his sons play football. So I kind of thought that he was hinting at retirement after this season, even though he never really said that. And I kind of thought this just made it that much harder. But I'm kind of in agreement with you. I don't know if he would go out like this, but if what you guys heard is true and he could possibly be back for the playoffs, he might come back, go on that playoff run with him, and then wherever the chips fall there, he might still walk away at the end of the season. It's possible.
I mean, I just want to – PJ, did you want to say anything? Go ahead, PJ.
That's all that's
going
to count is that playoff run.
Right, right. Yeah, if there's some way for him to miraculously come back, I don't know what he drinking or that bicycle, them bicycle run rides that he been going.
Tahitian noni juice.
He might be on that noni juice or them bike rides. But I honestly don't know, because I know he don't want to go out like that. And like Dev alluded to, his son is playing for the University of Miami, and you know he bleeds the Hurricanes. So, I mean, I know he wanted to see him play and, like, get more into his family, which a lot of NFL players say when they come to retirement. That's part of what drives them into retirement. But I just don't think Ray want to go out like that, man. And I think if anybody could do it, like, come back from this type of injury at his age and give it one more one foul swoop, one more hard year, I think Ray could do it. So,
I mean,
I'd be surprised if he's...
The funny thing is, though, a lot of players who say they want to spend time with their family, as soon as they offered that traveling commentator job, they take it. Like,
yeah,
yo,
that's
you
true.
Say you want to be home with your people?
I saw Ray call upon the Thunder, so I think he can do anything.
I just want to make
one point, though. Ray Lewis, in my opinion, is the second best linebacker I've ever seen, because I've seen LT play, and I ain't never seen nothing like that before in my life. I heard Austin say he was the best linebacker he's ever seen play. But me personally, he's number two behind Lawrence Taylor. Because when I saw Lawrence Taylor play, I've never seen anything like that before. Probably never will.
Yeah, too much weakness. Well, I ain't gonna say too much. There's a weakness in LT's game that doesn't.
Huh? Really? Brother, you got to turn your microphone.
No,
up
he discovered. He just didn't have to.
I said there's a weakness in LT's game. And it's not actually, Kill, I wasn't really referring to coverage, because in any passing situation, we don't know whether he could or couldn't cover, because why would you drop him back? Yeah, you would always have him rushing the passer. But when you ran the ball, you could run at LT and get yardage out of it. When you ran away from him, he was so fast, you're going to run it down the back.
Yeah, when you ran away from LT, he definitely, you know.
Have you seen the Ravens play this year, Austin? They ran at Ray Lewis every play in the Kansas City game for like 300
yards.
He's 17 years in.
I know. I'm just saying. As a fan, I mean, he's done it.
And he leads the league in tackles. I mean, leads the team in tackles, rather.
Listen, man, all I'm saying is, in my personal opinion, I'm not trying to make this a debate between LT and Ray Lewis. I just never seen anything like LT. Never will. I mean, we can have that another day. Another day, we'll set that up. The LT, Ray Lewis debate. Who's the best linebacker?
I think it's always hard to debate LT anyway. Just like I said, because he had a specialized thing he did at linebacker.
And he had a specialized drug he took, too. But that's neither here nor there.
Yo, well, like Akil was talking about earlier with modern medicine, man, you never know, because his man, T. Sizzle, thinks that he's playing this week. He's practicing with the team, and he said,
yo, he's
he
coming out in the media telling people he's playing.
Yeah, he's putting the pressure on John Harbaugh.
He's telling his family to come to the game. Yeah, he's got his family tickets and all that.
He's putting pressure on the coach. He's going to be like, coach,
exactly.
I paid for all these tickets. Like,
I brought
monkeys
from the jungle and all that. Yeah.
T-Sizzle, also Hard University.
That would be amazing if he plays this week.
I did a little research on that, the actual injury, and they were saying, the doctor said that it's not surprising that he's fully healed and strong enough to play. He said the injury is probably fully healed. He's cool, but he's not going to have the explosiveness that we're used to seeing, because there's no way that he's had time to develop that explosiveness, and he's probably going to put a little bit more stress on the opposite leg, which could mean bad news for the other leg.
He's going to try to compensate for the lack of explosiveness.
The injury.
But
he said the injury is fine. Like, he doesn't he doesn't expect it to re-injure.
If I'm the Ravens, I don't let him play. Like, you know, you got to think, like, the team is pretty good. It seems like they're a lot to be in the playoffs. Keep getting strong. Like, if you're going to end up playing, we need you at a certain point. Like, from what he does, it's not like he's a quarterback. He doesn't have to come in and get into a quarterback-type flow of the game. You know, you just come in and do what you do on the defensive end, you know, but get stronger. Let the injury heal. Don't rush back, because then if they go in the playoffs and Ray Lewis is not back and now, you know, you're down Terrell Suggs because he came back too early. They're missing their corner. He tore his ACL. Like, don't let the defense fall apart because because you want to come in and play Superman right now. So, you know, I wouldn't let him play. Just like, you know, off subject, I wouldn't have let RG3 play last week.
Right.
But yeah, I mean that's definitely something you have to look for. I mean, it's about the longevity, you know. Yeah. So you have to take that into consideration. Real quick, though, I don't even want to talk about this, but Aaron Rodgers threw 6 touchdowns on Monday night. And for those who don't know, I played Dev in our fantasy league, and he had Aaron Rodgers.
Everybody who listened last week knew because you threw me right up there, out there.
Oh yeah, and I'm gonna keep talking trash. That's what I do. But yo, I'm in a couple leagues, and here's the crazy part: the other league I was in, dude had Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson.
So right, it got like 100.
Yo, it got to the point where it was like funny. It was like funny. Like, yeah, all right.
He probably beat your whole squad with like 2 players.
So both my fantasy teams in both leagues got Sandusky because Aaron Rodgers decided to have a Canton-type performance. What did you guys think about his performance overall, though? Like, how sharp he was, considering some of the criticism he's gotten, starting to see.
I don't really think, he's gotten criticized, but it's been more, it seems like it's been more him critiquing himself in the media. As if he's
he got slandered because if you see at the end of the game, he told him, what did he say? He basically told him to shut up. All the people criticized him, said y'all can shut up.
That's kind of how I viewed it also, though. I thought when he was telling everybody to shut up, he was talking about because everybody was saying that the Packers stunk.
Right.
Oh, no. It was personal.
Because he hadn't played bad this season, though. I thought he was just trying to be, you know, extra leaderish by taking a lot of the blame. I mean, if you looked at his performances and stuff like that, he wasn't really playing that bad.
Well, see, here's the question she asked him, because before the game they were talking about it as well. And the thing is, he was kind of getting upset because he said people basically expected him to have the same type of year this year that he had last year. And his thing was, listen, this is football. That's tough to do. It was about his personal performance. And he was like, look, you know, basically shut up because he's still that guy.
No, I heard him say, like, you know, we set the bar so high last year, it's hard to, you know, repeat that kind of performance, you know, even from myself. But, you know, I mean, just overall, I didn't hear much just dead-on criticism for him. But, you know, they some dudes read a lot of clipping, so they see what's out there. And he's on Twitter, so who knows what kind of people were saying on Twitter. But, other than that, I didn't view him as having a bad season. But
it's probably a lot of the incompletions are due to their super athletic tight end who has no hands. Yo, what's wrong with JaMychal Finley, man?
He can't catch, yo. He's on my fantasy team. No, I ain't going to talk about fantasy, but he can't catch.
Jim, keep going. That's my damn fantasy team. Oh,
yo, because he can't catch. Like he said, like Austin said, he's super athletic. I've seen him run a reverse with a tight end. That's how you know he got crazy athleticism. But, yo, he can't catch.
If you can't catch a pass thrown to you by Aaron Rodgers, you just can't catch. Because he put it right in the breadbasket. You know what I mean? It ain't like you got to dive to get it or, you know,
But Austin, talking about incompletions, he's completing 68% of his passes. He completed 68.3% last year. And his quarterback rating for this year.
With Finley out of that equation, would probably be about 73 or 74. Yo, dude drops the ball 3 times.
His quarterback rating, Austin, is 105.4. So, like, you know, like I was just telling Jimmy, like, dude wasn't playing bad. I just think he was trying to be the anti-McNabb and actually take some blame for some stuff that's going on.
I think it's one of those things.
Imagine
where,
that.
It's sort of exactly what he said. It's like the way they played last year, yo, people didn't even come close to them and, you know, until they fell apart at the end. But the way they ran through the first half of the season last year, it looked kind of comical.
But if there's any sports fans who thought that it was even possible to do that again, then they're the dumb ones. I mean, like you said, they got caught up. People caught up to him by the end of the season.
This is true.
Like, you're not going to keep doing that. You're not going to keep not running the ball at all.
I'm about to say they still ain't had no running game.
That was less about Aaron Rodgers and more about people studying the team and what they can do. I think Aaron Rodgers has become good enough to where he's going to be Aaron Rodgers regardless, but you can take away things or you can take away options. Like, obviously, you know, cover everybody and let your Michael Jamarcus Michael, or whatever. Let him be open, and you're going to get dropped.
Hey, Austin, I have a question specifically for you.
I have an answer.
Right now, Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning? Not for the rest of their career, but right now.
Not for the rest of the career and not all time?
Right now.
Just Aaron right Rodgers. Now for this season?
Yeah.
I'm taking Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
I'm gonna tell you why. There's nothing at the QB position that Aaron Rodgers can't do. Because he's so cerebral, you forget that the dude's measurables athletically are off the charts. Like ran a 4.640 in his combine, he's fast. He can, you know what I'm saying? Like he's an athlete. Peyton Manning is not an athlete, he's a grandmaster chess player. Playing quarterback with a strong arm.
Got you. I just want to ask you that because just to see how far. I know you have
a lot of. Austin keeps saying that. I don't know what them neck nerve injuries, man. I'm not seeing the strong arm anymore.
Yeah, Austin.
He's still forcing in balls that look like he's throwing into a wall of wind.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting
there.
Austin
loves Peyton Manning more than me, and I'm a Broncos fan. But he loves Peyton Manning.
Well,
that's
you don't really like him. You forced him to be on the fan wagon now.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like, you know, he's not my favorite. He's not
of
even my favorite player
now. I know that. I can tell by the plan that he got when he was in
Indy.
I know. Jimmy acting like he got to tell us that.
Yeah, that's true.
I was so happy at the irony.
Everybody just go back to past episodes of the War Room before Peyton became a Bronco.
The only thing that could make me happier than having Jimmy have to compliment dude is having him on the Eagles. Because I knew what he could do, and now Jimmy get to see it firsthand.
Yeah, I mean, you know, put us in a hole and get us back out. But anyway,
like Rodgers, he's having. I still think he's having another great season. By his standards that he set last year, he's fallen off a little bit, but that's still better than everybody else in the league.
I don't think that's him.
With Green Bay's performance,
more with inferior talent.
With Green Bay's performance this past week, where do you put them at an NFC? Like, if you had to give your top five NFC teams right now, will they make your top five? Who's your top five NFC team?
Defense is still inconsistent.
I'll go.
I hate to talk about NFC teams.
Mm-hmm. Top five.
Yeah, top five.
You want to order?
Yeah, right now, NFC side, top five.
Damn, it's hard to give you an order. I have to say the Giants are number one. Maybe have to go San Francisco number two.
That hates the Falcons, yo.
I'm about to say,
The Falcons are in the top five. The Falcons are in the top five. That is, I don't really have an order, but if I just got to give you five teams, maybe New York, San Francisco, Atlanta,
Seattle,
Chicago Bears, my Super Bowl pick, and probably, I don't trust the Rams. I don't know if I trust the Seahawks just yet. I would probably have to put Green Bay up there.
Green Bay?
I would probably have to put them up there, even though what they do is, I'm not saying it's easy, but it can be caught up to. It's the same thing we used to talk about with DeSean Jackson in Philly. He does all of this in the regular season, then when big games come, he's easily taken out of the game. And if you know all they're going to do is sling the ball, they're not going to run it. You know, a smart defensive coach in a playoff situation will do something to match
that. You know what's funny, fellas? Like, this, when you look at a lot of these teams, and I'll use Green Bay since we're talking about them, it's a life lesson that can be learned, man. Balance, man.
What?
They're in balance. They are so imbalanced that when it's nut cutting time, they can't run the ball. They thought they had it fixed with Cedric Benson, and I believe that he would have helped a lot, but now he's gone and they're back to they pass on second and one.
But anyway, I was reading the chat room. Kyrie said they did spank the Bears. PJ, give me your top five.
But remember, Jim, even when I picked the Bears, I told y'all that they were going to sweep in the regular season. Bears are going to win the
prediction.
Super Bowl as a wild card.
We'll see if it works out. Dev said the Packers will win both regular season games and lose in the playoffs.
They're going to beat them a third time.
Three times. Now, PJ, give me your top five, PJ.
Top five, what, NFC teams?
NFC. We want an NFC side right now.
I hate to have to throw the foul. I hate that sort of like just like Dev. I'm not going to give you a like the top, you know, 1 through 5. I'm just giving
okay.
the group
okay.
collectively. But I hate to have to throw the Falcons in there, but I do. You know what's crazy? You know what's a crazy division to me is the NFC West, though. Like,
yeah.
that's a strange division because, like, everybody got, like, 4 wins.
I think they
and
suck.
And I'm like, I mean, they are, would you say?
I think they suck, though. I think it's all going
yeah.
to fall into place soon.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I
think
when it's...
What,
y'all
think Arizona is nice?
Get
I think when it's nut-cutting time, I think
uh-huh.
that, the real going to stand up and the phony is going to fall. But anyway, my fault. I'm digressing.
Atlanta, sit down.
exactly. But I got to throw Atlanta in there. I'm going to definitely throw the Giants in there. I got the 49ers in there. I think I like – see, the thing about Seattle is my man at quarterback, man. My light-skinned homie at quarterback. I mean, it's just hard to feel like they're going to really make noise relying on him as he's going through his growing pains. So I'm gonna remove them because I thought about them. But I'm going to throw Green Bay in there just because of the fact that they got Aaron Rodgers. And got to throw the Bears, I guess. I'm juggling between the Bears kind of and the Cardinals. I'm going to go with the Bears. I think they're more of a I got more faith in them than the Cardinals
Yo,
right now.
Remember, Skelton is back for the Cardinals.
I know.
Cobb stupid behind got hurt again.
Yo,
so
Cobb, got that Greg Oden in him or something, yo.
Yeah.
Doc Fang. Where you at, Doc Fang?
So I think Arizona's done. Skelton's not good.
Give me your five.
I got the Bears. I mean, yeah, I got the Bears. I've got the Giants, the 49ers, the Falcons. That's 4. And then we're going to throw Seattle in there. They just have some fight. They have some fight in them that's, like, on paper, they should suck, but they play good D. They have a top-three defense. They have good on special teams, and they run the ball. I mean, it's not pretty, but they win. So I'm going to say Seattle.
Yeah, absolutely. Before I let Austin give, I'll give you my five. My five are, I think all of us are going to have, like, 40s teams, which are the Giants, the Niners, the Falcons. Maybe 3, I should say. Giants, Niners, Falcons, Packers, and I would say Seattle. I'm not thinking Chicago strictly because they got Jay Cutler playing quarterback. But Seattle's defense, to me, is the X factor because they have some great cornerbacks. Their corners are tough. So
they linebackers.
The linebackers too. It's like,
saying the cornerbacks are fast linebackers.
Yeah.
They all like
6'2", 2'3". Their whole defense is tough. 6'3", 2'3". They're a tough team. So they're going to be.
It ain't just their corners, dog. It's across the board.
No,
their secondary, the Seattle secondary, yo, they picked them up and dropped them off at the zoo. That's baboons, orangutans, and gorillas back there, man. Both of their corners are 6'2" and over 210 pounds. Which, like you said, conceivably, they could play linebacker, put on 20 pounds. Their safety, Cam Chancellor, is a poor man's Sean Taylor athletically. And then they got the dude Earl Campbell running around as a track athlete playing free safety. Yo, they are scary in their secondary. And they don't even try and mince intelligence. They go all straight up bump and run. You're not playing no zone. Everybody
don't
pick a man.
Don't think about it, huh, Brad?
Original
just
black
go stick somebody.
Yeah,
don't think about it. Just go stick somebody, right?
Everybody stick somebody. That's their coverage call. Ain't no zero, ain't
somebody.
No one, ain't no two. Yo, everybody stick somebody.
Yeah, that's like
that's
their
schoolyard.
And when you bring four or three receivers on, they don't even go to a nickel. They just be like, yo, Earl or Cam, yo, you get the guy in the slot.
Austin, real quick, Austin. Because we've all given our picks in terms of the NFC. Before we move over to the other side, give us your NFC picks.
Man, it's the same. Subtract all that greatness I just talked about Seattle. Subtract them.
Take them out.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't believe in Russell Wilson in terms of this year. What I've seen from him, I think, and I'm gonna say it on the air live. He will be as good as RG3, if not better.
I was just about to say something real, like, crazy. He's going to be, as good as Eli or something.
But anyway,
ain't nobody gonna try to snipe you for that.
That wasn't like a great. I mean, that wasn't a, not that wasn't great, but it wasn't.
No, I mean, he got to watch his back in the district. But other than that,
yeah. All the Redskins fans running around here, they gonna trip.
No,
I actually think you may be better than RG3 because they go down the field and do a lot more anticipatory throwing at this stage of his career than RG3 does.
All I'm saying is I have more faith in Russell right now than I do Jake Cutler. But anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about the Broncos game on Monday night. You brought up Peyton Manning a little bit. Yeah, you know, it was a great comeback. All the comeback against the Chargers. What I want to ask you, gentlemen, is this more about like Peyton Manning and the Broncos coming back, or Phillip Rivers and the Chargers just like imploding?
They saw that man coming. Both. They got afraid of the sheriff, man.
Yeah, it was a great mixture of both.
Defense ball.
Yeah, because it's one of those things, like when you're trying
perfect
to hold
storm.
A lead, and this is what a lot of Eagles fans don't seem to understand. When you're trying to hold a lead, the offense is almost just as important as the defense, because if the offense is turning the ball over or they're going three and out, is giving that other team confidence because the other team keeps getting back onto the field to make
right.
something happen.
Number of snaps.
Yeah, as much as we want to praise Peyton Manning for that, like he just said, their defense did ball out.
Yeah.
I mean, they scored.
It was perfect. It was a perfect storm win.
Yeah, it definitely was. It definitely was. Like, the defense went out there and did their job. They must have had a hell of a halftime speech from the coach or something, because they were getting the brakes beat off of them in the first half, 24-0. What set the tone was that drive right after the half. That kind of set the tone, you know, and then the defense came right back out and did their thing. So you kind of knew, even when it was still a big lead, that we may have something brewing here. And Peyton Manning came to play that night, well, that half.
Yo, that was a perfect storm. It was great to see, obviously, as a Peyton Manning disciple in Stanley. I'm biased, but trying to be a little bit objective with it, I would say that wasn't as impressive as that Monday night against Tampa Bay back in 2003, was it, or 2004, because I think that was more offense-based.
Because it was the Colts.
It was the Colts, so there was no defense on the other side of the – yeah. So it was definitely – you got five picks? Four picks from your defense in the second half. Four picks in the second half to get them the ball back. And then Phillip Rivers
four
just
picks
started.
Or turnover?
Turnover.
He threw four picks in the second half? Oh, okay. Yeah. But he threw like two or three picks, though, right?
No, he threw five. He threw five picks, one in the first half,
picks?
Four in the second.
Damn,
Phil?
Yeah, it was kind of like, I want to give Peyton all the credit, but I can't. When you're throwing the ball to the other team, Phillip Rivers, like, yo, he was making completions to the Denver secondary left and right.
He sound like the boy with herpes.
Yo,
he sound like Caesar. Caesar's problem is more fumble related, though. He's cowardly.
If you look at it, he hasn't been playing good football in like a year and a half at this point, like. They're missing a couple things that the deep threat and also the change of pace back, and that's completely changed the way Phillip Rivers plays. He forces a lot of stuff. And
he got like eight kids at home, Jim. They wearing him out. My man got like eight kids.
Who, Phillip?
He has six kids.
He's worn
out, bro.
Yeah, he on his Avenger John. He don't believe in like, you know, pulling out or strapping up, so he got to deal with that.
You know what
I noticed about Peyton that game that really makes him great.
Better get
a lot of times, it's like an offense takes what a defense gives them. Peyton goes to the line and dictates what the defense will do. He was, yo, and once you fall into the bag and you fall in line, yo, he's just playing with you.
He said once you fall in line.
Yeah, he's falling like he's get down or lay down.
I mean, I saw a lot of plays where the blitz looked like they were coming. I mean, seriously, I think the upper echelon quarterbacks in the league
like the blitz.
Like they welcome the blitz.
They want
you to blitz. They encourage you to blitz. That's why I keep trying not to take it back to our hometown team, but you know, teams blitz the Philadelphia Eagles every damn play because they can. Because they don't have one of those upper echelon quarterbacks that's going to laugh at you when you send people and just hot read you to death. Like, they don't have that. So Peyton Manning, you know, he was masterful and changing the protections and calling things at the line.
He's definitely masterful. Peyton Manning has had his most struggles this season when teams don't blitz.
They show blitz,
but they don't come. And they back off. Drop in the cover.
Hey, real quick, about the Cowboys with the blitz, like, you would think, you know, with Romo's abilities and Dez Bryant and Austin's abilities, they would handle the blitz well, but between our communication between the quarterback and the wide receivers, it's horrible. They blitz us, and Romo either gets sacked or Dez makes the wrong read, and it's a pick six. Crazy.
Oh, just a quick announcement. It's over. The ALCS is over. Detroit 8-1 over the Yankees. They're going back to the World Series. When was the last time they were there? Was it like 04 maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Detroit's going back to the series, and they get a few days to rest, so they can actually, you know, put their lineup back together and get the order that they want to start the series since the other series isn't over.
Hopefully they don't rest in Detroit because they may not make it to the World Series.
So even though Scherzer picked tonight, they can go Verlander and Scherzer again. So, that was my preseason pick. They're still looking strong out there.
No doubt. Now, I want you guys to do the same for the AFC, you know, that you did for the NFC. And I'll start with you, Doc Bay. Give me your top five AFC teams right now.
Man, top five AFC teams. Let's go. I'm going to keep New England up there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw the Broncos up there just because of their quarterback. Let's see. Next three, let's throw. Man, that's hard, man. That's hard. Let's say San Diego. I got San Diego making a run. You know, they probably sneak in at like 9-7. So we have three right there, and then
What about your state mates?
I forgot about the Texans. My bad. let's take San Diego out there, put the Texans in there, and then we got the Steelers and the Ravens. There you go.
Okay. All right. Cool. Be awesome. All right. Well, PJ.
Okay,
I mean, he ain't got no picks. Go ahead, PJ.
Yeah, nah. I'm gonna still start with Houston.
Okay.
B-more is gonna be interesting, but I got them in there now because we're taking a snapshot of right now. So I got the Texans, the Ravens. I'm gonna put Denver in there like Kill. I got faith in Peyton. Still want to go with the Patriots, man. It's still hard for me to count them out at this point. And then you know who my next team is? Y'all going to laugh.
The Dolphins.
My fifth team is the Dolphins. Tannehill, Teddy Hill, and my man, Kardashian's ex. You know what I mean?
Hey, PJ.
I said 24-7, y'all.
Yeah.
Hey, PJ, when you said the Dolphins, like I always thought you were saying like the Dawkins, like Brian Dawkins had his own team.
Oh, no. That's my Philly accent coming through.
Yeah, PJ must have watched that. You know that trade camp.
HBO got me hooked. With what's the name? Yeah, that's
okay.
That's just now.
Dev,
mm-hmm.
What you got, Dev?
No, seriously, I don't think the AFC has a top five team.
Everybody 3-3, yo. Everybody 3-3 in the league.
I'm gonna go Texans, Ravens, Patriots, Broncos, and. I go cliche and say the Steelers. They really don't have five teams that just jump out at me like that. So you just got to say the regulars.
For me, it will be Houston. Of course, the Steelers and Ravens, you might just lock them in. New England, of course. The fifth one to me is the hardest one because I didn't want to, like, just pick the Broncos. Because, honestly, they're just not playing the best football right now. But the Chargers stink, too. So, therefore, the whole AFC West would have to just stink. But then you can't put the Bengals in because they're the Bengals. I'm kind of forced to put the Broncos in.
That's kind of like where I was because I really didn't want to put the Broncos or Steelers in the top five. But then when you look at the AFC, who else are you going to put up there?
Funny thing, San Diego.
Remember, San Diego was a team that I picked to do better than everybody else did.
Yeah.
They started out okay, but then now they're being San Diego
a little too early. Thing about San Diego? People talk about, like, well, historically they've done this. I don't even think they're good in terms of their personnel. When I look at their team, their offensive line is nowhere near it used to be. The coach doesn't want to play Ryan Matthews because, like, he just got something personal against him.
He on punishment.
The ball fumbled a rock. Yeah, he on punishment.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're as talented as they once were. To give Phillip Rivers a little bit of props, I think he does a lot with not too much, around
him.
But
considering one of your top targets is Eddie Royal, seriously?
Yeah, and they definitely have a talented running back who's on punishment because he fumbled, a couple of times. He actually started him this week, and he actually got to stop playing because he is on my fantasy team. The Chargers, it's funny how people interpret things differently, though, because Akil just said he thinks the Chargers are going to run. Adam Schefter thinks the Chargers are done after that game last week. I don't see how people make those kind of proclamations this early in the season.
I agree with Adam Schefter. They're done. For me, it's not even a matter of that game being that deflating, but when I look at their team after going through that game, I just don't think they're that good, and I think it's time for North to go. It's been time for North to go, but I mean.
Yeah, he should have been fired last year. He should have been fired last year. And on that note, fellas, hey, real quick, I'm signing off. Shout out. Peace out to the War Room family. Enjoy the rest of the show, fellas.
All right,
Kill.
No doubt. We're all at you, Kill, but, Kill got off before we got into the nitty-gritty of,
got my top five.
You got your five? All right, well,
What's your five, dude? The Texans, and the Broncos.
He was over there writing that down when you asked him the first time.
I had to figure it out. And when I was looking at the records and the fact that the AFC is now the JV, I'm just going with the Texans.
Yeah. That's true because the Texans just got the brakes beat off of them.
That's my question to you.
Yeah.
My question I was getting ready to ask the floor is, I heard a couple people say this week that maybe the Texans are smoke and mirrors too, considering the team that they beat up on, and when they played, the NFC team, the Packers, who's considered a top team, they got the Brits beat off of them.
Right now, Jim, remember when we all picked, the Texans to go far when we did our preseason predictions? We all did acknowledge that they play in a pretty weak division these days, so they're not going to get a lot of work before the playoffs start. I don't know if that's going to keep them because they're still playing NFL football, so people are still going to get hurt whether you're playing good competition or not. So
pushing
we just got to see what they do. But like you said, when they went up against an NFC team, they got the brakes beat off of them. So if that rings true, then maybe they'll still make it to the Super Bowl.
I know a couple of y'all
and then they'll still lose to the Bears, like I said.
They'd be blown.
I got a question. Is Andre Johnson still Andre Johnson, or is he slowing down?
Oh, I think he's slowing down a little bit, but I don't know if that's him. Well, because he has a lot of injuries all the time. So I don't know if the dude is ever playing anywhere near 100%. So, I mean, injuries are a part of slowing down. So I'd say, yeah, he's slowing down, but at the same time, they've made no secret of basing their offense around the running game and Arian Foster. So, who knows?
Right.
Yeah.
They've made no bones about it.
I just don't know. I mean, we'll see. Only time will tell. But you're right. The NFC does look like a dominant conference at this point. AFC stinks. All first verse. Yo, real quick, though. Let's get into the big story that everybody wants to talk about. We got about 15 minutes left. So let's
let's jump right into this. And that's about the Eagles, who blow their second straight fourth quarter lead. But it's not even that that people want to talk about. Juan Castillo, the former Mexican-American defensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles, was fired. You know, he got fired on his day off.
you got to be a stupid
fire. He got fired on his day off. You know, Andy Reid let him go. You know, Juan Castillo, like the soldier he is, he still stood up and defended Reid. I want to get
you guys. Damn near cried. He said he'd take a bullet for Andy Reid.
Yo, he did. That's the kind of soldier you need. Andy Reid should be. Anyway, but
scapegoat me.
I want to get you guys'
opinion. Me, which is the opinion of me.
This is the first.
I move out the way of that bullet.
This is the first time that I can honestly say, yo, I've really lost respect for Andy Reid based on this move, because the defense is a top 12 defense overall. They're 12th, I think 12th against the run, 14th against the pass, and 13th in scoring defense. And so with all the turnovers, your defense is averaging a very high snap count per game. Terrible field position.
Oh, don't, I was about to say, don't forget that their opponents, like their number one, I don't know how to say it, but their opponents have the best field position in the league.
The Eagles' best starting field position is still number four in third down conversions, and they're top 10 in the red zone, in red zone stops. And your answer to where the team is after 16 turnovers is to fire the defensive coordinator, and we got the 31st ranked offense with 16 points a game. I'm done. Somebody else think.
With all these so-called weapons. I've always told people, man, you can have as many weapons as you want, but a lot of people count Mike Vick in those weapons. And
Starship.
You know, seriously, he's just not. Yeah, he's just not
weapon.
The type of quarterback to get it done. He's not the guy, like, if you're saying, oh, you gave him a bunch of receivers, he's not the guy to really take advantage of that. And I really don't see what all of these fans that we've been arguing with all week, I don't see what they see that I'm not seeing. Like, because I've spoken to people this week where it's everybody's fault except for Mike Vicks. And I just
spoken to a lot of black protectionists that have
I'm
defending
gonna say
that
something.
Cat.
Yeah, I'm
going to
jump into that. I'm going to jump into that because most of the people that we've been arguing with, it's like two different conversations going on. I've had someone literally tell me that I was a sellout for being critical of Mike Vick because I'm a black man, which is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life, but that's how some people feel. You know, there's a lot of black protectionists. Yeah, it's like you can't be critical of the guy. It's like at this point, I don't know what he can do to make some people feel as though he's not the right guy for the job. He could come out and just throw 10 interceptions. I mean, I've heard people
and none of them will be
like,
his fault.
I've heard people say things like there's not been one interception that's his fault this year. I heard someone say his interceptions are okay because he throws them far down the field, so it's the same as a punt. I've heard people blame it on the offensive line. I've heard people blame it on Andy Reid. I've heard people blame it on everybody, you know. At the end of the day, part of being a quarterback is you get more credit than deserved when you win, and when you lose, you know, you have to take some
get
of the
more
blame.
To blame.
But
I don't even agree with that statement, Jimmy, because in this particular case, the blame is it's accurate. It's not like it's not worthy.
The blame is accurate.
They
fired the D coordinator. How is the blame accurate?
Say, but listen. When firing the D coordinator, this is what has been coming out of Philadelphia. They're saying, well, they lost 7 fourth quarter leads since last season. See, now that's where they're throwing the smoke and mirrors at you, because last season was kind of last season because the defense is vastly improved. Even though last season they finished 8th overall and 10th in scoring defense, you know, given it the eye test, the defense is vastly improved from last year. So to throw that out there as a factor in why he was fired, I think that's totally bogus, man. Seriously.
Yo,
because they were vastly improved from last year. I'm not saying they're great, you know, because Austin read off the so-called accomplishments of the defense. The defense has their breakdowns at times too, but when your defense is constantly playing on short fields due to turnovers, they're constantly on the field because you're going 3 and out. Like, there's no way I'm not saying the defense is not a problem, but you jumped over five or six problems to address the wrong problem, in my opinion.
I don't even see it as a problem because I know we're not the 85 Bears with a wanted gang.
Context, you're right.
Here's the reality of it. The reality is this. Michael Vick is a bum. I don't know. All these people with all these protections, yo, they need to call the show. He stinks. There's no excuse for a man to lead the league. Last year, he missed like five games and still led the league in red zone turnovers. He's a reckless bum. You can't be in situations as a smart, as a cerebral thinker, as a quarterback, as supposedly the most cerebral position on the field outside of, well, you are, and then second is like your offensive lineman. But when you look at what he does and the mistakes that he makes, I understand that our line stinks. I do understand that, and I understand that sometimes when he gets to the bottom of his drop, if it's a five-step drop, it's a guy right there. But I feel like he stays right there and, like, just waits to get assassinated and then throws balls blindly. Like, if you're going to do that, just sit there and get sacked. Do not throw the ball. This is why I say he's a bum, because even in, I mean, like high school, you know better than to make the mistakes that he makes. Like when he just throws the ball and doesn't look, or he's running and throws the ball back across his body, running to the right, and it throws back across his body to the left somewhere. Like, you can't make a mistake like that, dog. Not in professional football. And he does this repeatedly. It's not like he makes this mistake every now and again. He does this every week. I repeat. Every week he makes at least two of those mistakes, and they usually turn into turnovers. And then this is my last. I'm gonna get off and let y'all go. What stupid, idiotic monkey fool don't know how to slide and slide foot first? Does this idiot nut realize that when he slides heads first? First of all, he can be hit on the ground. So you slide head first. Even though you're down, a defensive man can come and nail the trash out of you because you went head first. And if he does do that. First of all, you like remember the time when he fumbled? He did something stupid, like went head first and then fumbled, and then he got the ball. Like, he's creating all these stupid, unnecessary, idiotic, reckless plays because this idiot don't know how to slide. What's
I've
wrong with him? Put some oil on his shirt. I ain't got enough time to tell you why I'm mad, yo. I can't keep going through this every week because my blood pressure gonna start giving me problems. They gotta do something with this dude. If we're gonna keep throwing all these interceptions and having turnovers, put the young boy in there. What worse could he do? What worse could the rookie do?
That's true. But listen, PJ, like I said, you just touched on one of the major problems. Like I think they jumped over at least four problems to go to Juan Castillo, because you have the turnover situation with everybody, and then, of course, you have the turnover machine.
Play calling.
And Mike Vick, you have the play calling. You know, you have an all-pro running back that you really don't use. Unless you're giving him gimmicky running plays like, you know, the draw
shotgun draw plays, shuttle pass.
Come on, all that kind of stuff. Then you have the special teams coverage unit that stinks.
Right.
Then you have – I'm up to number five now. Then you have, you know, to add to the coverage roles with the special teams, you have the only kicker in the league who can't kick the damn ball to the back of the end zone. So, it's like, you know, you're giving the man a running start every time. You're putting a little more pressure on your coverage unit, and they already stink. So that's about five problems that I can name before you even get to the defense and any, you know, minor problems that they may have had. I think they're tackling better than they were last year. I think they're covering better than they were last year. The linebacking core has improved from last year. The only underachieving part of the defense is the front four, because last year they led the league with 50 sacks, and through six games they only have seven. Now here's
and
my theory right here.
Bring,
I'm like, PJ, here's my theory right here, and then I'm going to step off. Think about this. Think about this, because you know how – everybody talked. You know how we all said on the show last year that Juan Castillo was never going to get a fair shot because he came from the offensive side and everybody was all up in arms. So think about this. If the pressure is on you, just like Andy Reid, why not get rid of the guy who caused such a big stir just for getting hired in the first place? It's like at the same time you kind of give the people what they wanted all along without actually addressing the real problem. So it's like a smoke and mirror type thing. So by it's cowardly. By firing the unwanted guy, Andy kind of made all of these Philly fans forget that the other two units on the team stink far more than the defense. So just like the word that
I kind of think it's backfired though, because for most of the things I'm hearing is like, you know, he's not the problem. You should be fired. So if that was his thinking, I think it kind of backfired because the consensus in the city has been that he scapegoated him, so to speak.
There's still a lot of people riding though. Like, yeah, that's right. He should have fired. You know what? But a lot of those people do it just because they're indirectly defending Mike Vick because they know the next thing in the conversation is going to go to him. I think,
here's the thing, though.
Like Peter
here's
King said, it's a diversionary tactic. A lot of Philly fans are falling for it, but I'm not really buying it.
Of the three units you have,
your defense is doing the best of all three, and you fired a D coordinator. I don't get it.
Andy Reid, listen, man. Andy Reid is playing like Big Brother or Game of Thrones. He's trying to keep himself as the head of household. That's what he's trying to do right now, man.
He can do all he wants to. Jeffrey Lurie told him that 8-8 ain't cool. 8-8 ain't going to get it done, and we on pace to hit 8-8.
Because I've heard a couple things today.
He thinks it looks favorable on him because – Andy Reid is looked at as a stubborn guy. So he's like, well, if I throw Juan under the bus, it looks like I'm admitting that I was wrong. Even though Juan, defense is playing pretty well. I'm admitting that I was wrong, so maybe that buys me some more points in the eyes.
Wait, Jim Washburn comfortable with this dumbass wide nine. My fault. Wide nine, trashy shrimp.
The decision on Mike Vick has pretty much already been made that he won't be here next year. This is what I heard today.
They're not giving him $16 million next year.
$16 million for that?
There was a situation last year in which Andy Reid came close to firing him but didn't. I think they played the Patriots, it was. And the Patriots realized that by leaving in the certain players in the game, they went three wide and removed the tight end, and they went hurry up. And they realized the Eagles couldn't make any changes. They couldn't get their defensive schemes in because Castillo didn't know how to do the communication. Because there was a situation where there was only one headset working, and because of his inexperience, he kind of messed up, and Andy flipped out on him supposedly then and was going to fire him. But the thing is, he kept him around after that, and supposedly it had to begin this year. This is what they're saying. But with that being said, it's still not the right move, in my personal opinion, considering the other problems. It's just a mess.
I heard Nnamdi was talking trash, like, you know,
Nnamdi threw him under the bus. I mean, of course, you blame the Mexican guy when everything's going wrong.
Nnamdi had one good game, and now he wants to throw the coach under the bus. I'm a Nnamdi defender, but FOH Nnamdi, you're going to have one great game, and then you're going to throw the coach under the bus. FOH.
Hey, I don't understand why you do that in public, though. That's so corny to me.
That
Why
is.
Are you talking to the media about it, dog? Like, you know, I got meetings tomorrow. Go talk to me. You know what I mean? I don't know. Nnamdi don't even seem like that type of person either. Like, I didn't, you know what I mean? That didn't even seem like that was
supposed to be like this good guy.
Like yeah.
Nnamdi.
You are gay.
it's just the whole thing is just a mess right now. You know, I kind of feel like the Eagles and Andy Reid are sending out certain stories to get there because new things come out every day. It's just become a big joke. It's like the Jets at this point. And now you have Asante Samuel sending shots, talking about sometimes the problem lies with you and not the people around you. Like, you're sending shots at Andy. So, you know.
What did Asante say?
He said he's sending a shot at Andy Reid. So, now, you know, Andy's going to try to make Vic his way all game now and throw a couple, you know, 24-step drops. Yo, he be having Vic take 24-step drops. What the hell wrong with Andy, yo? Anyway, man, it's time for us to get out of here, yo.
Yeah.
Everybody, thanks for joining us in the war room. Shout out to everyone in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, all the calls who chimed in. You know, we want to thank Kyle, especially, for coming in and tell him good luck on his fight, which, again, is Saturday, October 20th at the First Mariner Arena in Baltimore. For ticket info, visit ShogunFights.com. Also, another special shout-out to, the Tribune for doing a write-up on War Room Sports. We definitely appreciate it. And, you know, other than that, tune in next week. Same time, same place, another episode of your favorite show. For those listening on the podcast, shout-out to you as well. Check out our website for any special guest info. Until then, enjoy your NFL weekend as well as your Thursday night football. There's also MLB playoffs going on.
Catch all our conversations all over everywhere online because we own the internet.
Yeah.
Go get him, Kyle.
Sending this
Kyle
one out
fittest.
To my man Killer B. No doubt, indeed. Without weed, you know what I'm saying? That old real shit. There's a war going on outside, no man is safe from. You could run, but you can't hide forever from these streets that we done took. You walking with your head down, scared to look. You shook, cause ain't no such things as halfway crooks. They never around when the beef cooks in my part of town. Similar to Vietnam. Now we all grown up and old, heavy on the cops' control. They better have the riot gear ready. Tryna back me and get rock steady. By the Mac one double, I touch you and leave you with not much to go home with. My skin is thick, cause I'll be up in the mix of action. If I'm not at home, puffin' live, relaxing. New York got a nigga depressed, so I wear a slug proof underneath my guest. God bless my soul before I put my foot down and begin to stroll into the drama I built. And all I'm finished. Beef, you will soon be killed. Put us together. It's like mixing vodka and milk. I'm going out blasting, taking my enemies with me. And if not, they scar, so they will never forget me. Lord, forgive me. The Hennessy got me not knowing how to act. I'm falling and I can't turn back. Or maybe it's the words from my man Killer Black that I can't say. So what's left of untold facts? Until my death, my goal's to stay alive. Survival of the fit, only the strong survive.
Yo, yo, we live in this till the day that we die. Survival of the fit, only the strong survive. We live in this till the day that we die. Survival of the fit, only the strong survive. We live in this till the day that we die. Survival of the fit, only the strong survive. We live in this till the day that we die. Survival of the fit, only the strong survive.
In between two worlds trying to get dope. You know when the dope get low, the juice go. But never that. As long as things smoke crack, I'll be on the block hustling, count my stacks. No doubt, watching my back and proceed with caution. 5-0 working, no time to get lost in. The system niggas use the fake names to get out quick. My brother did it and got back with 2 ounces. I live with one with squads, hit the block hard. That's my man Twin when he got back. That fucked me up, God. But shit happens for a reason. You find out who's the true keepers when you're upstate bleeding. You can't find a shorty, the truth to bed with you. Hit with a 2-4 is difficult. While on the streets, I try to maintain. Tight grip, my Lucas hoes like to run game. Some niggas like to trip, but I ain't with that tripping shit. I'm like the juice, saving those who I can fit with. Pushing a Lex, now I'm set, ready to jet. No matter how much loot I get, I'm staying in the projects forever. Dates on the blocks, we out clever. And beef, we never separate, grow together. When words come to words, so my peoples come first. Try to react and get the motherfucker feeling certain. My crew's all about blue. Fuck looking cute, I'm strictly tip boots. An army certified suits, puffin' nails, lay back, enjoy the smell. In the bridge, getting down, it ain't hard to tell. You better realize.
We live in this till the day that we die. Survivors of the fit, only strong survive. We live in this till the day that we die. Survivors of the fit, only strong survive. We live in this till the day that we die. Survivors of the fit, only strong survive. We live in this till the day that we die. Survivors of the fit, only strong survive.
Open your eyes to get wild. Look alive. 95, what up? Hypnotic stuff, like get that ass paralyzed. Know what I'm saying? Mob Deep and all that.
War Room Sports. www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.